Blog Talk Radio.
No more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports
Index. And if I may say, that these sports in-depth nation is here. The sports in-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
No one needs to be sick. The iconic Larry Hardesty. And our always renowned beloved Mel Smith Jr. It's Sports In Depth Live from Floral Park. The Jets announcing their new head coach, an African American, and a new offensive coordinator. Second time the Jets have had an African American head coach. Jack, you never had one, even though Jerry Reese is their GM and first vice president. But as we always begin, anything ill fated is because you don't start by it again. Still love you. Thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you, Lord, for looking at us largely take for granted. And that your way be our way. We thank you for this morning getting up last night and lying down. We thank you that we woke up on Mother's Day, that we happy birthday, Mother clothed in her right mind. All right. More importantly, even though we stop praying, we don't stop praising. Even though we get up off our knees, we do not stop bowing and paying homage. Even though we stop this prayer, we continue redundantly, repeatedly, everlastingly in our lives. We ask you that you bless my beloved mother on her 86th birthday today and any other birthday today. Jimmy Robinson, the African American Negro League player, all others have a birthday today. Hey, and our good buddy Tim Smith. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. Hey, amen. And we're waiting for Cincinnati Sea Wings to join us live from Floral Park at the presser for the New York Jets' new head coach. And what we're going to do, we're going to do a past interview with the Wings did. As we wait for him to join us live from Floral Park for the Jets introducing their new head coach and their new GM. It's Sports In Depth live on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Garden Network live from Floral Park. And we were live in Brazil the last time. We're back in New York State, not the big city. This week we're broadcasting live from New York State, New York City studio. Let's go to a past interview with the wingman, and we'll get ready when he comes in live from Floral Park with interviews and updates on what's happening. There's some talk. Barry Bonds is training with A-Rod. He makes his move back into the big leagues. Two goals short. Well, down by a goal last night. Tied the game at 2-2. Won it overtime. They're red hot. Smear zoking, as Murray Decay would say. There's some talk that the New England Patriots have done a little hanky-panky. Something with the footballs. 45-7. I don't see where that could have had too much of an impact. I've said this before. A lot of consideration has to be given to Brady and both to Belichick as Coach of the Year and MVPs. And you got like their chances against the way Seattle looked in the early part of that overtime thriller. But right now, I guess if you lean toward anybody, the smart money, how is better than anybody's smart money? And this is a sure thing. The only sure thing is the love of God. Love and, hey, death. Hey, people have found a way to beat taxes. Wings, an interview back in the day, during the Rex Ryan era, which is now gone. Wings, live, Sports and Depth, Live Talk Radio, plus interview, and we'll be at Floral Park in just a moment.
Going into the halftime break, you guys were only down two. What was Coughlin's message to you guys at the break?
You know, just to, we're in it. You know, offensively, we moved the ball pretty well, had some turnovers, obviously, but felt we you know, had some opportunities to make some plays. Defense is playing well, you know, with stopping them, you know, just getting up field goals. So, you know, we had opportunities to be in the lead and very much in the game, and you know, I thought our guys played hard, just obviously didn't make the plays down the stretch that we needed to.
You always say that each interception has its own story. Can you just briefly go and what happened?
You know, yeah, one just tried to add a little quick out throw to the corner, jumped it, tried to pull it back and you know, couldn't pull it back in time and went to another defender. Guy played it, you know, they played some well, just on an overneath, you know, ball to Odell. Guy just thought I could get it in there. Guy jumped it pretty well, linebacker. So tried to hit a corner route to Reuben and you know, I don't know if I just overthrew it. I kind of was on the ground on that one, so I didn't really see how it all finished up. And you know, the last one, obviously fourth down, trying to fit it in there, got tipped up. So you know, just you know, I got to do better. I got to be better at protecting the ball, making better decisions, and throwing the ball more accurately. Yeah, you know, I didn't expect it.
Man, with that, we say happy birthday. Now, my beloved mother, 86 years old today. And also Mr. Jim Robinson, Big League star of yesteryear, and Tim Smith. One of the finest boxing writers of all time, quite possibly the finest boxing writer of his time. Happy birthday. And all the birthdays that will be coming about. My grandson on the 25th, Jackie Lawson on the 31st, Lynn Martin the 30th, and tomorrow, anniversary of the New Orleans. But right now, Mommy, it's all about you. Love you. Bless you, God. Birthday song for everybody who has one this month. What's your name? Blog Talk Radio. The question to everyone live on Floral Park. Wingman will be in a minute. And it's a new birth, a new time, a new era. The Rex Ryan era is gone 6 years. You heard his interview, his last interview during the Rex Ryan era we just played. The Wingman is in Floral Park, and for this portion of the show, he will be running the show. You're there. We've got a new GM. We got a new head coach. Wingman, tell us what's happening, baby.
Well, basically, it's a new day, like you said, new era, also historical. We are here live on Sports of Depth at the Jets training facility in Floral Park as Woody Johnson introduced Mike McClanahan and Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles being the new head coach, Mike being the new general manager. Todd Bowles, second African-American head coach for the New York Jets, coming from the Arizona Cardinals. As a defensive coordinator, he played safety for the 49ers for 1 year, and for the majority of his eight-year career, he played for the Washington Redskins. And Mike McCagan, coming from a storied background, started out with the Houston Texans, hired by Charlie Cassidy back in the day at the inception of the Houston Texans, basically resetting the reset button on a new era in the New York Jets season, upcoming season. They're in the process of putting together their coaching staff, looking at the 53-man roster, looking to kind of refurbish or regain the confidence of the fan base here in New York, number one biggest market for sports other than soccer. Both Mike and Todd from New Jersey, so they mentioned that it was a pleasure to have to come back here to New York, where it all started from them being natives of New York, Mike, Hightstown, New Jersey, and Todd, Elizabeth, New Jersey. So we'll see what they'll do as far as putting together a roster, putting together, giving Mike his first role as general manager. This is really the second go-around for Todd, if you look at it in terms of him being the head coach, because remember, he was head coach, interim head coach, when Sparano was fired in 2011. So he held the job for three games, the last three games of the season. He ran a well defense, defense that blitzed 16% more than any other team in the NFL, in the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll see. Chan Gailey is the new offensive coordinator, nearly 40 years in the sport of football, college, professional. We'll see how that they can turn this organization around and make them relevant in the division they call the AFC East, or some say the AFC least.
As you're going on here, because I'm going to let you handle the whole thing, two things here. You know, a lot of people felt that Rex Ryan was Bart Starr talked about Scott Hayes, how he was set up to fail. But this does say something about Woody Johnson. We just went through King Day. This is the second African-American head coach hired in New York City in football, and both times it's been by Johnson, and I think we have to look at that. And what we want to do, so we can get this apropos, we're going to let Larry Hardesty do a closeout, and then you're going to handle everything, Mike, on lights up. But the question I'm going to ask you, you know, this says a lot, and you listen to Sports and Double I from Floral Park, New York, where the incomparable, this NFL 411, Cedric Searings Raymond, is there, once again, taking Sports in Depth to new endeavor, new heights, and bringing you sports, hey, on the scene. Not what you heard about, not what you said. He's live, and he'll have interviews or whatever else we'll need there. Larry Hardesty is going to close us so we can have the second apropos. Don't move. Larry Hardesty, and Sports In Depth Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Net.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Yeah, and with that, the legendary Cincinnati Sea Wings, who well, we've often said that he's taken this program, radio-wise, he's taken our football program beyond what we can comprehend. He's always talking about what a good job everybody else does. You know, it's like Willie Bay telling somebody else they just made a good catch. And Wings, how much does this say about the Jet organization, though? In the wake of this, this is the second African-American coach history organization. There's got to be some recognition of positivity there, Wings.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It just goes to show you how progressive Woody Johnson is and his people-person skills, and it shows just how he is as a person. I mean, right before we went live there, he just came by and shook our hand. Unfortunately, we couldn't get him here live on the show, but as you know, this is a big day for the organization, and he's being pulled 10 different ways. But it really goes to show that Woody Johnson, he listens, he watches, he's learning, he learned, and he's a good businessman, good owner of a big franchise that has been struggling over the years and basically has been dealing with a frustrated fan base, I would say, in the last 5 years, which culminated this last past 2014 with, the banners flying to fire Idzik, the banners being flown over the training facility. You had the poster put up near the stadium. And Woody Johnson, it just goes to show the type of person he is. He knew that he had to make a change. That and he listened, to his higher echelon there, the people that he hired to run his organization. He looked, he saw he needed a change, he made a change, and he picked a gentleman who is highly spoken of around the league, who comes from a vast football network, and who has happened to be African American, and someone asked him a question today. That how does he feel being the second African-American coach hired by the New York Jets? And Todd, being the gentleman he is, he said, first thing he said is that he hopes that he was hired because his skills as a good coach and not as an African-American. And it just goes to show the class of people that he has put around him for this upcoming season and for the years to come. But shows that Woody Johnson, he's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. Good businessman as well.
Could we also say, when we're talking about Woody Johnson, could we also say, Wings, he's a visionary?
Visionary, absolutely. And a progressive. It just goes to show where the organization is going. There's a new day in the Jets organization. The new direction. It looks as Mike Mackinnon is looking to be more aggressive with his staff, with the availability of the cap space that they do have, that they're going to be aggressive in pursuit of putting the right tools, giving them the right players and the right tools to help Todd and the organization succeed as they go forth in the upcoming season, 2015 season.
Sports In Depth Blog Talk Radio live from our New York series, but live, once again, the wing man, the international man. We brought you international flair here. The last time we were here, we were live from São Paulo, Brazil, from the Alameda Mansion with the big cupcake, Lady Cupcake, Smoochie, G, Nell, Ivan, Ricardo, a.k.a. Al Pacino, Nuri, and Nell. But now we're live from Florida Park. You know, today is really football weather. Let's talk about some things, too, Wings. You're going to handle everything, as you always do. There was talk. Bart Scott article came up. Subject one. He said that Rex Ryan was set up to fail. We know that the GM was not in his corner. Situation seemed they were put in areas that didn't weren't advantageous for Ryan. And the question was last year, Wings, you know, with the cleaning of the house, how come Rex didn't go? One, was Rex set up to fail? Two, why didn't Rex leave with the rest of the residue? And the big thing here was people thought Rex shouldn't have gone. There should have been the GM. One, should have Rex gone and stayed? Yes or no?
Well,
what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think I'm a little biased in that. I think Rex could have stayed, though I think he should have stayed at this point in this season. I think he maintained the respect of the players, but I think the organization needed a new voice. The fans needed new leadership there. They needed a change.
Hey,
and you're going to see some changes in the roster as well, the players, the personnel. They fired the two scouts there that were with the organization a long time. Let me see if I can get Larry Hardesty here. He's walking up. Let me see if I can get him here on the show.
Okay, yeah. Good. Okay, good. See you again. Good.
Hold on one second. Let me see if I can get him on.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to get the incomparable Larry Hardesty live here on the Blog Talk Radio. Sports and Devil.
Oh, man.
Couldn't ask for two better sports minds. You got Doc Stanley. You have Larry Hardesty, two of the greatest sports minds ever. The greatest market of New York.
Thanks so much for them. So it's kind of words, Wings, you know, cutting you off to be. See, other than the same breath of Larry Hardesty, you're talking about class, character. You're talking about the greatest African-American sportscast in the history of New York City radio. Mentioned the greatest of all time.
Here we go.
The voice that
we're graced by the graces and the vast knowledge of Larry Hardesty, ESPN Radio, 98.7 KISS, for you, Doc.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Larry, the greatest ever do it, baby. Greatest African sportscast in history of New York City radio. He's the voice that brings us on. When you say Larry Hardesty, you say class, character, you say all the positives, and you go on, you do some square root of 17, and you still can't come up. Larry, you know, one of the things here, King Day just passed. This says a lot. Willie Johnson, again, has brought an African-American head coach to the New York Jets in New York City, Larry.
First of all, Doc, I guess I have to add another zero to the check for the intro. Number one. Number two, you're right. And not only did he bring an African-American head coach in, Doc, but he brought in an African-American who knows his football. And he brought in somebody who knows how to win. And he's brought in somebody who's definitely credible for the job. He didn't just bring in somebody who was a coach, who was a black guy, who was a coach. He brought in somebody who was an excellent coach who happens to be African-American. And that's what you want to have. And this gentleman's got a pedigree of winning. This gentleman, you saw what he did with an Arizona team. But everybody talks about how Arizona was ranked 24th in defense. Well, no disrespect, but you got a quarterback in the postseason like Ryan Lindley, your defense is going to drop because you're on the field longer. And as you're on the field longer, there's more opportunities for the offense to take advantage of what you do. There's more opportunities for the offense to figure out your schemes. There's more opportunities for the offense to do what they can do. So considering that they lost three quarterbacks during the season in Arizona. They were tops in the league for most of the year, Doc. They lost three quarterbacks in Arizona, and now he was able to hold that team together defensively to allow them to get into the postseason. He's done a heck of a job.
Yeah, well, here, and once again, you're hearing the voice of the Not Enough Zeros in the check. He was a man, father, and friend. Greatest Iron sportscast in history of New York City, which makes him unquestionably the greatest of all time. Larry! There was a report that Bart Scott said that there was a feeling that Rex Ryan was set up to fail.
When you look at John Idzik's idea and his philosophy as far as spending money, when you understand that you lost. Okay, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, Doc. You go into the season not wanting to spend all your money. Having some cap money to roll over is not a bad thing. You have to sign Muhammad Wilkerson to a long-term contract. Sheldon Richardson is on deck. You're going to sign him to a long-term contract. So, obviously, having extra money is not a bad thing. However, after two of your cornerbacks go down, you bring in Dimitri Tyus and he leaves. You needed to spend some of that money to improve your cornerback, your secondary situation. When you understand that Rex Ryan's defense is predicated on having corners that you can leave one-on-one, that you can leave on an island, hence Revis Island, that you can leave one-on-one, then that's how he blitzes with the other corners. He may send the safety. You never know from the offensive standpoint where that blitz is coming from. That's the mystery. That's the mastery of what Rex Ryan does defensively. So under that scenario, yeah, he was set up to fail because he was not given the tools to work with. And then, listen, when you consider what that secondary looked like, he did a great job in not being blown out of a lot of games. You take away the two Buffalo losses, you take away the San Diego loss, they were in every game. They had a chance to win, if not for turnovers, penalties, bad execution, but that's why you're a 4-12 team, because if you did things better, you wouldn't be a 4-12 team, be a 12-4 team. But if you take those things away, they were in every game defensively. So as bad as the secondary was, even though he had injuries to Muhammad Wilkerson with the toe, he was out a couple of weeks, Rex Ryan did a fabulous job defensively. But, yeah, from that standpoint, I agree with Bart Scott. He was set up to fail.
Larry, also, too, you look at the Green Bay game, you look at the Chicago game, Detroit game, pivotal calls that I remember some of the players said they thought they were playing against two teams. Okay, Revis Island, let's go to New England. Two things here. Revis is finally in the big dance. There's some talk again, Larry, again, about the New England Patriots cheating. 45-7, though. At 45-7. Good, Larry.
Yeah, well, first things, Doc. This is why you brought Darrell Revis in if you're the New England Patriots. This is for the postseason. You didn't really need him regular season. You didn't for the postseason. And I must admit, I'm kind of curious and looking forward to seeing him and Richard Sherman on the same field in 2 weeks. That's going to be very good. We've talked about in the analysis and comparing the two that Sherman comes up usually with bigger plays, has the chance for the interception. Oh, by the way, Revis got an interception in the championship game against Indianapolis. So that sets up to be a really good game. When you look at New England, you have to – did the deflated balls help them or help them beat Indianapolis? No. You go back and you look at how they've dominated Indianapolis over the past 3-4 games. The difference has been Indianapolis' inability to stop the run. LeGarrette Blount came off lunch at juniors in Brooklyn and just started to run like crazy for this New England team. And remember, earlier in the season, New England's offensive line was struggling. So they were able to get things going. So that's been the biggest problem with Indianapolis, because New England ran the ball, scored, forced Indianapolis to be one-dimensional. They don't have a running game. Ahmad Bradshaw was supposed to take care of that. He got hurt again. They can't run. T.Y. Hilton is the big, long threat. Oh, by the way, we have Revis. So, and the offensive line for Indianapolis has struggled all year, so Luck had no shot. So that's what hurt them. So it wasn't really the play the football. Now, having said that, we have to look at the fact that this is another incident where it appears as though New England has shaved the rules. And so when that has to affect you somehow. I can't look at if Doc Stanley is leading the – let me put it this way. If Millie Mays is leading the league in here, okay, but I see that Millie Mays has got a court back. Millie Mays still isn't right here, but I can't look at Millie Mays as an outstanding guy.
Hey, Larry, why did you have to use Willie Mays?
I didn't say Willie Mays. I said Millie Mays.
Okay.
Millie Mays, the stickball king of New York. That's what I'm talking about.
The greatest football player of all time.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, the legendary Millie Mays.
That's it. You know, so I have to look at him differently, and that's what I'm saying about Bill Belichick and this regime. Look, is he trying to do everything to help his team win? Absolutely, obviously. And then as you go deeper and you find out that now maybe the NFL has got to adjust in what they and how they handle this situation. What we found out from the interviews with officials, their officials in the NFL. What happens, Doctor, inform your audience is with 10 minutes left, the up to 10 minutes before halftime, the officials have control of all the footballs that the quarterbacks are going to use on each team. They weigh them. They make sure that they are inflated to the right amount. Okay, and after that, with 10 minutes left, they turn the balls over to the ball boy of the teams. Obviously, they were deflated after the referees checked them, because the referees checked them again at halftime, Doc, and they were all deflated. 11 of the 12 were deflated. So obviously, they were deflated. They were deflated. They were deflated, Doc, after the referees checked them.
And this is, again, ladies and gentlemen, why you hear things on Sports In Depth. You don't hear anything else. But more importantly, the voice you hear is, and I can't say it enough, what he's meant to not only our organization as a sportscast, not only as our organization as African-Americans, what he's meant to the world. You're listening to the greatest African-American sportscast, the Ali of his time. Nobody has a longer tenure. The class. It was Larry Hardesty, like the chief rocker, Frankie Crocker, that united black and white radio personnel. Until Larry came along in the sports box, you didn't have white guys calling on a radio show. It was Larry who did it. And then, did you hear what he just told you? Did you hear what he just told you? Hey, this should be our next African American president. Larry, love you deeply. Larry, you know, I've said something here too, Larry. Belichick, Brady, got to be considered for Coach of the Year and MVP. Got to be considered, Larry.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they were able to, and it's funny, when you look at them and you look at Seattle, both of them were struggling early in the season. 3-2, people were saying, Seattle's not going back. What's going on? Is there an issue with Seattle? Is there a problem? New England, they were saying, we trust no more up in New England. Mm. But it's the ability for veteran teams to understand that you don't win the season early, you win the season late. And the best teams, and look, here in New York, we've watched the New York Giants do it on their Super Bowl runs in this decade, in this century. They've been able to go late, they pick up momentum after Thanksgiving, roll into December, and play your best football at the end of the year. And that's when you really have to play your best football, Doc. That's when you take that next step. And that's what both teams, Seattle and New England, have done. And that's why it should be on paper an outstanding Super Bowl, finally.
You know, and Rafael Famaro, the only Latin in the 500, 300, 3,000 club, that's Willie Mays, Eddie Murray, Hank Aaron, and Rafael Famaro, over 500 doubles, 3,000 bases, 500 home runs. And he said, you know, the baseball season, like the football season, Larry, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's funny when you hear commentators say in June, Doc, they'd have no shot to make the playoffs. What? No shot to make the playoffs. What happens to July, August, September? I got 3 more months. I got a bunch of more games. I've got the summer. You know, the summer, I'm just getting hot. You know, especially if you play baseball here in the Northeast. I mean, you're just getting to consistent warm weather, Doc, when you get to late June, early July. That's when, you know, you consistently go, and that's when your pitcher's arms are ready to go and lengthen out. So, you know, it's absolutely right. It is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And that's with all your major sports. It's just there's more emphasis on football because you only play once a week and you only have 16 games. But when you break it up into quarters, if you can go 2-2 and 2-2 in your first half of your first 8 games, Doc, and then you turn around and you win, you go 3-4 and 3-4 in your next two, you're in the playoffs. And that's what happens, and that's what teams have figured out. And so that's where these teams, both New England and Seattle, are. And they're peaking, and they're playing at the right time.
Yeah, Larry, you bring up so many points, and we're going to lose you soon. Larry, the season ended last year, and a guy that reminded me so much of you and your first classic character, a couple of quick thoughts on the retirement of our friend who we see grow right in for our eyes, Derek Sanderson Jeter.
You know, I've covered a number of great athletes, Doc. You've covered a number of great athletes. And you, of course, had a chance to cover, you know, even the greater, the Dr. J's and the Will Chamberlain and just legendary players. And Derek Jeter is going to fall into that class because of his ability to perform on and off the field. And one of the things that I always measure with our players with, Doc, is what they do when the bright lights are on. you go back to the flu game of Michael Jordan when they were in the series against the Utah Jazz, and it was joking that the Jazz had poisoned the flu of Michael Jordan because that's the only way they were going to win. And you saw Scottie Pippen holding him up as he was walking off the court. And Michael
Jordan still
performed. Doc, he still performed at an elite level. And when you look at When you look at people when you look at people that perform when the lights are brighter, that's when it counts. People shrink. A lot of people shrink under that bright light, Doc. Derek Jeter never did. And the one thing about Derek Jeter, he was always, when nobody else wanted to talk in that Yankee locker room, Derek Jeter spoke. When it was after a tough loss, when they lost four straight to the Boston Red Sox after having a 3-0 lead, it was Derek Jeter that was the blocker. So you show me how people work in adversity, and I'll show you the character they have when things are going well. So the Yankees will miss Derek Jeter on and off the field.
Larry, love you.